Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. Yes, indeed, here we are. Woohoo! It is Thursday, April the 11th. Time is zipping by, isn't it? I'm telling you the truth. I am just astounded at 2013 just running on by down the road. Here's what I have to tell you today, and I'm hesitating a little bit. This is so funny because it's happened a lot that when I'm doing the show, especially at the beginning of the show, I look over at the phone and invariably I see somebody call, and it has a lot to do with the fact that there's numbers, phone numbers that I throw out at people all the time, at artists, and lately the artists that have been in communication with Hybrid Jazz have been so crazy that I can't even tell you, so it's tough to keep up. As I say this, here is our guest, and let me tell you about what a delight it was to research this young lady. Now, I knew a lot about her because you have to know a lot about who is creating the most buzz, and this young woman truly is. And it's just one of those situations, and I hope that I don't embarrass this beautiful girl by saying this, but it's so fascinating, so bloody exciting to see that somebody who is 20 years old, 21 next month, by the way, who is a saxophonist who is predominant as far as that instrument is concerned at this moment in time, a composer, arranger, producer, and educator. At this age, she has lived more in those years than most who are twice her age, and it's a thrill to be able to give you the one, the only, Grace Kelly. Grace!
Hi, Trish.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I am wonderful. I was worried about you a little bit because I know that you have a lot of energy, but you're going to be at Scholars tonight, and you sat in last night. How was that?
Oh, it was great. Last night was the only night I was sitting in with one of my good friends and mentor, James Montgomery. He's a really great blues musician. So we just played some really awesome, energizing blues rock stuff. It was great.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, good. I feel better now because I'm thinking to myself, oh, she's got to let me know how much time she has. Maybe she's got to run off.
Oh, no, I'm not playing tonight.
Okay, cool. Well, good. Well, listen, I'm tickled to have you because I saw your schedule, and it's insane, of course. Congratulations on your new house, by the way.
Thank you.
How about that? That's something. How are you feeling these days? I mean, you're going to have a big birthday next month. My son just turned 21, so I know all about that.
Wow. Awesome.
Yes. So how do you feel? Do you feel a little bit like a princess or a queen right now because things are going so wonderfully well?
I feel very blessed. Every day has been just magical, and I'm just enjoying this journey. It's definitely a journey, and amazing things have been happening, and many times, like, a lot of it is a surprise, and I'm just thoroughly enjoying it. And I love this life and being a musician and getting to spread my music with people all around the world and get to travel and everything. So life is good.
It really is. And one of the absolutely fabulous traits that you have, I was telling my son this morning because we were listening to Live at Scholars, and he was thoroughly enjoying the music.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. Very definitely. He looked over a couple of times and went, whoa. Which is always a good sign. But you are so courageous. I know that, Grace, without getting into a whole long discussion about it, because you started very young. I mean, your mom's classical background, and then you hearing jazz around the house, and you starting so young on instruments. There are those, I'm sure, in the jazz world who would love nothing more than for you to concentrate solely on the exquisite jazz instrumentation you have done. But you will not be boxed, and I love that about you. You are just spreading your wings and flying more all the time. Woo! It's cool.
Thank you for saying that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a very exciting journey for me. And the first track on the CD is called Please Don't Box Me In.
Yes.
And I wrote that specifically to set up the music of the rest of the night. The CD features a lot of eclectic stuff, from jazz to more singer-songwriter to funk. I just want to really experiment at this time in my life and just, you know, I have my influence of jazz, I have my influences of pop and world music, and I just want to, I'm a sponge taking it all in and want to spit it back out. And I've been really excited because the reviews of the album have been great. People and fans who the album is really for have been loving it, and it's been going over really well, which is great because I can only create music that's true to my heart, and right now this is where I am, so it means a lot when people say that they enjoy it.
And that's really the crux of the matter too, Grace, and you understand that. You absolutely have to do what is authentic for you. You can't be in somebody else's vision of who you should be. So, therefore, when you're doing these songs from Live at Scholars, everything does have the ring of truth. I certainly was not as familiar with your singing voice, and you... It's funny because I certainly am old enough to be your mother, that's for sure. But it's funny how the youth in your voice combines with the honesty that you feel to create this emotional moment for people. And even though you write songs that are personal, you have a way of engaging a listener to make them think that something has happened to them.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Can I just put that right on my website? Thank you. That was just so kind of you. Wow.
No, really, because I read the notes about, you know, some of these things are captured moments. There are emotional intimacy that you feel. You know, you talked about your boyfriend. But, you know, when I hear it, I go back to different kinds of moments in my life, and I feel it. Feel it.
You know, I think that that's like the real power of music, because when I hear great music that takes me to a place or just takes me out of wherever I am into a different land, it's so powerful. And that's my only, you know, my hope is to bring real honesty through the music and vulnerability and whatever song might need or might need power. And that's the best thing when people tell me after a show, they say, you really touched me or you brought me to a different place. Those, or just, you know, you gave me goosebumps. Those are like the best compliments.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. And I really do feel comfortable in saying that to you without, you know, you're getting too embarrassed, because here's why. You seem to really love the audience. I can hear...
Oh, I do.
Oh, my God. You really are joyful on that stage, aren't you?
Thank you. You know, this CD was... I mean, all my CDs are made for the audience, but this one, I think, more than even the music... I wanted to highlight, since it's live, like the amazing fans that were there that night, and for them to hear themselves and just the energy and love that they brought. And you can hear them throughout the tracks, even in like the drum solo and Searching for Peace. We want to make sure that we push the volume level up of just the crowd noise and everything, because, I mean, that night was unbelievable. Here we are at Scholars Jazz Club, and it felt like a stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The fans
and
are amazing.
You had a band and a half. That night, I was just popping out of my chair. Holy cow. You had folks on fire, not only in the crowd,
God,
but on that stage.
There was so much. Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that it was a live recording and that we had this incredible crowd, we all really stepped it up and created some really beautiful moments. But the funny thing is, I had a really big band that night. It had my usual quintet, plus a cello player and two background vocalists. And
wow.
We hadn't performed as a full group ever before. So a lot of those arrangements were like brand new. And that was the first time we were doing them, which in hindsight, like if you're going to do a live recording, it'd probably be good to rehearse people a few times and all that. But that also brought some excitement to the mix, you know.
I'll say, because, yeah, we can use the word spontaneity, because that's the way it felt like. And I don't know if this was rehearsed or not, but one of those really bloodthirsty, fabulous moments was when you were doing Summertime. And it was kicking. It was the roof had a couple of holes in it at this point. And then you brought it down so that it became almost hymn-like.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, okay, I really wondered about that, whether that had been it had to have been done like that before, but it just seemed like one of those moments where you, I can just envision you taking a look around the stage and everybody coming to the same page and going, let's bring this home.
Yeah, that was actually, that is part of the arrangement. But the arrangement of the song is basically, I have this bass line and then we just play the song and we solo over it, and all of those arcs, like soloing with Jason, the trumpet player, and it's all really spontaneous. All I tell the guys is, you know, like, let's bring it up and then bring it down, and then we have that thing that I wrote out for everyone. There's a lot of freedom. Like, I either give them just a chart or write something out, but then it should bring so much to the table.
Well, I can tell because, you know, for one, Pete McCann was crazy on that guitar. Oh,
I know.
God.
I know it.
And he definitely felt as though he could just go, and he did. I want to be able to play something right away for folks because this particular track from Live at Scholars is doing quite well for you. And if folks are not familiar with the Grace Kelly that they have come to know, Ready, Set, Stay is going to rock your world. You are probably really delighted at this the success of this, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually can't believe it. I mean, the album was put up on this site, Jamendo, which is this free music site, one of the biggest in the world. I think they're based in Luxembourg. And I got an email from a guy who's helping me out with internet PR saying, hey, you're number one on popular charts. And this is from, like, you know, there's 365,000 tracks on this site, probably even more. And somehow people found Ready, Set, Stay on their own. It's gotten, like, 170,000 plays and over 50,000 downloads. And it just keeps growing. And I haven't even released the music video yet. And it's just part of the live album. And I don't know how people found it, but they did, and they've been loving it. And it's just amazing to me.
Well, it's got that feel of a song. We used to call it, because I've been doing radio for a long time now, we used to call it that that ultimate hook. And once you hear it in your head, it will not let you go. And the cool thing is that, Grace, I just had this conversation with Bobby Caldwell on Tuesday when he was doing the show. We were talking about country music, because I used to be involved in country music a lot.
Okay.
And it's got that vibe to it that tomorrow it could be on the charts and it would be number one on the country charts too.
Oh, wow. That's awesome to hear from you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if Taylor Swift hears the song, she's going to be really PO'd. But let's play it. It is so cool. Ready, Set, Stay. This is Grace Kelly with us from Live at Scholars on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Hit snooze just 5 more minutes, please. You're such a sleepy head, and that works for me, that works for me. Maybe we shouldn't sleep till noon. and we have things to do, but they can wait. Let them wait under the covers. Wait for me.
Wait for me.
Ready, set, stay. Ready, set, don't go away. Ready, set, stay forever. Stay, stay, stay. Ready, set, stay. Ready, set, love me all day. Stay forever. Stay, stay, stay.
Looking at another album by the great Charles Lloyd, who's got a new, yes, that new project with Jason Moran is just crazy. And
I love Charles Lloyd.
Oh my God, he's just breathtaking. And honestly, this duet album is being talked about at this early stage as being one of the best there has ever been. That's how strong it is. Yes.
Wow.
So somebody wrote about this, that it almost feels as though you have stepped into a scenario where someone is expressing so intimately some emotions that it's almost like, oh, you don't want to intrude.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then, you know, I was thinking about you and the song. There's been a few times, of course, I've listened to Live at Scholars, but I get that feeling from you when you sing.
Mm. Wow.
When you did Kiss Away Your Tears, mm-hmm. Oh, my God! That's a gift, and you've got a few, and I know that you realize that, and I know that you've got a good head on your shoulders, but, you know, as you go down the road and explore this, know that is something that is very special. If you are able to reach inside of yourself and take something out, you may feel like your energy has been sapped. But in the meantime,
right.
When you convey that, it helps somebody else to heal.
Wow, yeah. That's so beautiful that you say it like that. But I know exactly what you mean, because there's certain artists who have done that to me when I'm listening, and it's like such a gift. And that really means a lot that you said that about my songs and singing, because, yeah, it's really nice.
And it's not like, you know, you're at the beginning of this. Live at Scholars is what, number 8 for you in the way of CDs, correct?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that is amazing. And I was so caught up, I got to tell you, in 2011's Grace. That album really meant a lot to me.
Oh, thank you. I love that album, too.
I do, too.
It was, like, such a pleasure to make as well. It was so much fun, and I really enjoyed playing these hymns in a kind of gospel jazz fashion, because it's a different vocabulary. We weren't playing jazz bebop scales or anything like that. It was just much more soulful, and the pianist that I was working with, George Russell Jr., he collaborated with me on all the arrangements, and everything felt so fresh.
Well, you know what? It was reminiscent, and I talked to a couple of people about this particular project of yours, but it was reminiscent of what Mary Lou Williams was doing with Black Christ of the Andes back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, to actually think about that, you know, doing jazz interpretations of songs that are considered, in some circles, actually untouchable. And you were so reverent about it. And, again, that fearlessness. Please always stay fearless.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. When was the moment for you, Grace, when you knew that this was going to be your destiny? It was going to be just open doors for you, one after the other.
Well, let's see. I recorded my first CD when I was 12 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And I had my CD release concert shortly after that, which was we rented out like a church, and, you know, I had great musicians playing with me, John Lockwood on bass, and Yaron Israel on drums, and we thought a few friends and family come, we could sell the album to them. What ended up happening that day is the local newspaper picked the story up, and they put me on the front page, and 250 people came that night, and it was sold out.
Wow.
And I was so nervous, like, to get on stage. I remember, you know, I can't remember who introduced me, but I almost couldn't go up. But once I did, I remember that, like, the stage just felt like home. And once I started playing, I was like, oh, my gosh, this feels like home. And somewhere in that concert, I had this moment where I thought, you know, I could definitely do this the rest of my life, because I love performing so much and connecting with my audience and just having a good time. And that was the moment I was like, wow, you know, this is really cool. I could do this.
And, you know, that's another thing. Hopefully there will be those who are in an artistic capacity who heard that and will continue to hear this, because the show will go into archive mode it pretty much immediately after it plays out today at 4.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing. What you just said essentially was that you, you know, you were nervous. A lot of people are nervous, but you did not overthink it. You just allowed the wave to come over you, and you permitted yourself to experience the joy of playing, because you knew that you could do it, and then the audience just buoyed you on.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of realize now, like, people ask me if I ever get nervous, and then I know we all get nervous at times, but then I think about, like, the audience is here to see me, and they want me to do well, and they want to have a great time. So, you know, why am I why should I be nervous? We're all like a big family.
That is right. You've just defined that in the most simple and logical terms ever. They're here to see you. They want you to do well. So why would I do anything other than have a good time and express myself on this stage?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the reasons why I love being on stage so much and performing is, for me, everything gets so simple, because I don't think. And I don't overthink when I'm, you know, playing or singing. And I just, you know, the next notes come out, and I kind of feel like I'm in a different energetic place. Sometimes I close my eyes, and when I open them, I forget that there's, like, people are clapping, and it kind of just stuns me, because I can't explain exactly where I go, but sometimes it's like just somewhere else, and it's a very special thing that I don't get any other time.
No, I can't imagine that you would, because you so belong on that stage. I mean, you have surprised yourself. I'm curious about this story. I know what Ann Hampton Calloway said about you, and she's so formidable. If she sees something special in you, that's pretty awesome. And your mm-hmm. middle school teacher saw something in you, and he was the one who encouraged you to record, so therefore Dreaming came out.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about the you were very young, and you pretty much arranged something for a band leader who was blown away, because I don't think he even asked you to do it, but you did it of your own accord. I want to hear more about that.
Oh, you mean the Boston Pops?
Yes.
Yeah, I was asked to perform in the Boston Pops when I was 14 years old and opened for the great, great singer, Diane Reeves. I was super excited. Keith Lockhart was conducting, and Keith had a meeting with me beforehand and said, you know, we have a few great charts, Don Spesky charts, you know, Nearness of You, and I forget the other one we played. And he said, but we want to feature you as a composer, too, and I know you write, so why don't we just break the orchestra down to just, you know, piano, bass, drums, trumpet, what your usual group. And then I looked at him, and I was like, well, Mr. Lockhart, I mean, do you think I could write for the whole orchestra?
Wow.
You know, why wouldn't I use the whole orchestra? And he looked at me like I was totally nuts, and he said, well, have you ever done that before? And I said, no, but I'd like to give it a try. And he's like, all right, but it is the pop, so it needs to be perfect, and it also needs to be, like, 3 minutes. And he's like, we can get our in-house arranger to help you, and tell you what, like, why don't you start working on it, and I'll take a look at it. And if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work, we'll just go back to the plan A. Anyways, it turned out that the in-house arranger had a bunch of family things that came up. He actually never got to get together with me. But I worked with my composition teacher for the next 4 weeks and studied all about violins, trombones, cellos. I'd never written for any of those before and wrote a 40-page score for the orchestra. And then I brought it to Keith Lockhart the day before the performance, because that was when our rehearsal was. And he looked at it and he said, all right, that looks good. Let's do it. And then we played my piece 2 nights in a row at Symphony Hall, and it was amazing.
And that, you realized then that anything was possible, didn't you?
Yeah, because it was a really daunting, a very daunting task, and I was very overwhelmed, and I didn't, you know, I never heard the piece played live. I was working on a computer and just, like, out of my head, and my teacher was helping me, but I was really nervous to hear it live because it was either going to sound really good or really bad, but I did realize, I mean, that was a huge stepping stone for me to,
oh, yeah,
to realize that I can learn whatever, and, you know, I did that in a month, and now when tasks come up or things, challenges, I think back to that as a huge stepping stone and have a little more faith in myself.
Oh, absolutely, and I knew that it was the Boston Pops. I wanted you to be specific about all of it because I wanted you to tell the story. That
mm-hmm.
was a trip to hear that, because can you imagine Keith in utter disbelief that he had reminded you that this was a very overwhelming scenario. It had to be a certain length. You,
oh, yeah. He told me it had to be perfect.
Oh, my. He is still talking about that to this day. I know.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the other thing is, like, I was 14, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I said that. And that's the other thing, like, you're saying about not overthinking things. I just,
yeah.
like, you know, it was an idea, and I said it, and then, I started working on it. That's crazy.
Well,
like now, I'm like, that's totally nuts.
And credit goes to the wonderful support and encouragement you must have received from your parents. It's pretty rare, except if somebody is operating in anger because they didn't get the support, then they spend their lives making sure that their parents are proved wrong. But when you have that foundation of, hey, that's great, just roll with that. Is that what you want to do? Good. Let's get lessons going on. And you had everything. You had clarinet, you had piano, singing, dancing, theater, all of that. So you know what? Why wouldn't you think that at the age of 14 you couldn't do that? Of course you could.
Right. My parents are so amazing. My dad has he always says, you know, shoot for the stars, and if you miss you may get the moon, or is it the other way around? Maybe it's the moon and the stars. My parents have always said, you know, go for your passions and your dreams. They told my sister and me, find something you love to do, and it doesn't ever feel like a job once you have to, you know, start making money and all that, and we will support you 100%. And that is exactly what they've done. I couldn't do any of this without them. My dad is also my, you know, roadie and manager and
tour
guy. And, my mom signed me up for theater lessons when I was, like, 6 years old. I've been on the stage. They took me to see Broadway shows ever since I was two. I've been in jazz club since I was six. And I'm extremely fortunate that they exposed me to the arts. They played great music. And then, you know, every day after school, my mom was taking me to music classes, music ensembles. I spent every Saturday at New England Conservatory for, like, 4 years from, I think, like, 14 years old, doing theory arranging ensemble from, you know, 12 to 6. And I'm really lucky to have parents who are so supportive, because I think it's so tough without that support, like you were saying. I'm very, very lucky to have them.
And also, I mean, we can talk about this in generalizations. You know, the word support is one of those situations where you can say, oh, I support so-and-so's efforts, or a parent saying about a child, of course I support my son and daughter. But when it comes to push and shove, support in instances where parents mean what they say, they leave work early, they drive you to where you need to go, sometimes they sit and wait for you to be done, they give up their lives in order to see you thrive.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's just amazing. And my mom not only used to wait till I was done, she would sit in the lessons and also take notes. And she would record the lessons for me. And, you know, thinking back to it, it's like, yeah, it's just amazing. And my parents never missed a single performance of mine. My mom runs her own business, and she purposely did that so she could, you know, leave and be there for every performance I did and be my support, and my dad as well. And that means a whole lot.
Oh, for sure. Because what that does is gives you a core of peace that will never leave you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really, really wonderful. And I'm not going to keep you for too much longer. I want to hear the mentors that you've had along the way, because it just seems like with you, there are some, especially males. I love this when males think the world of female instrumentalists and gravitate toward them.
I've been really, really just blessed to have incredible mentors and people that I've been looking up to since I started playing, you know, saxophone. They were on my, next to my bed was a whole stack of CDs, and I would put one in every night and go to bed and wake up to them. And on that, you know, that rack of CDs was Phil Woods and Lee Konitz and Dave Brubeck. And those are all people, I mean, Phil Woods and Lee Konitz are very big mentors of mine. I've recorded with both of them. I've been studying with Lee since I was 13 years old. And I did a European tour with Phil. We're playing at the Playboy Jazz Festival in June. And
oh, great.
It's like, yeah, thanks. It's one of those things I kind of have to pinch myself because I'm like, these are people that I grew up listening who have played with all the people that I love as well. And I've made a recording with them and they're playing some of my music. Both Lee and I wrote a song together called Gracefully. And Phil and I wrote a song for Phil entitled Man with a Hat. And just to hear like our sounds together, it's really incredible. Wynton Marsalis is another mentor who's brought me to the Kennedy Center. We played for Obama's inauguration.
That's amazing.
David Brubeck, Harry Connick Jr. brought me up on stage. And the list goes on and on. And I think the amazing thing about the jazz world is that people who are older and have been playing the music really do want to, you know, help out the younger folks. And if they see talent, they want to, you know, encourage them and teach them. And that doesn't happen in all these genres of music, and they also don't have to do it.
That's
so
right.
So it really means a lot to me personally.
Oh, gosh. I just love that story of when you were little and listening to jazz during your family's Sunday brunches, and you were listening to Dave Brubeck, and that you got a chance to have a musical relationship with him before he passed on, because he was so wonderful through the years. You know, he would always look for people who would pass that torch. And when he found you, he probably thought, oh, you know what, it's in good hands. I'm not going to worry now.
Yeah, and it's really amazing. I played with Dave a couple times, and I've gotten to know his family well, too. His sons, and I've played events in what's in Connecticut, which is where they are. I know his daughter and his wife, and he was just the most positive, incredible guy. I'll never forget, I was 14 when I sat in with him for the first time, and I came downstairs, and he nearly jumped. I think he actually did. He jumped out of his seat when he saw me and gave me a big hug. And he had this youthfulness that was unbelievable.
And,
he's like, made me feel so welcome and so, you know, at home.
And he probably was really appreciative, too, of the 2011 release, Grace, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand that Dave Brubeck did a lot of very spiritual songs through the years.
Yes.
And he
did
to
so
find
much
a kindred.
The world, too.
Gosh, he more than meets the eye. And that's the beauty of you, Grace. Gosh, not to, you know, say so much about you, but you need to understand. And you probably do. At this age even, that the more gifts that you have, the more responsibility you seem to have. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think of myself as a healer through my music, and there have been people who have told me that, and I think that it actually is a responsibility to help go and heal people who need it, you know, or whoever the music reaches. I mean, I also think that music is more than just, you know, I've done some missionary work in South Africa and worked with these amazing young kids and, you know, went to feed them and shelters and gave them a music lesson, and they've never even seen a saxophone before. I had them singing, and it was just amazing. Like, I left after, and the kids were saying that they were still hungry for music. And these are kids who get, like, a meal maybe once every couple days. And, I just start thinking on a small level, like, that's what that's what I'm doing right now. And I was just thinking, you know, as the music grows and the fan base and everything, there's so much good that can come of it to the whole world. And that's why I make music, you know. When I help other people and I get to play the stuff that comes from my heart, I'm also, like, I feel great. But it's just, it's amazing how it can spread to, like, everybody and everything.
See, you've learned this, and that's another beautiful piece of this Grace Kelly puzzle, is that you've learned, even beyond mentorship, you know that it's critical for somebody's soul and spirit to live fully, to give back in the ways that you've described. That's going to stay with me. I mean, here are kids who might not have meals, but they were hungry for music. Whoa.
Yeah. I know. It was really amazing. I'll never forget that.
I guess not. Oh, my gosh. What would you like to see have happened to you? We're, gosh, almost halfway through 2013. Is there a dream that you have you want desperately?
Well, you know, I just want, my dream has always been to have my music reach as many people as possible and to heal them, you know. And I would love to continue touring and playing more festivals, reaching more people. And also, I just located to L.A. I moved there a couple of weeks ago. And I'm trying to focus more on songwriting and also maybe branch into writing some stuff for film and trying to get some of those chops together, because I've worked with so many people in the jazz world that I love and admire, and I'd also love to work with people in the pop world that I love and admire. So I'm really trying to work on doing more crossover material, and you know, young people also love and something fresh and new that they discover, because, you know, my age, I feel like there's not enough young people who are my age who love jazz, but there's no reason that they shouldn't, because it's an incredible art form, and when it's fused, there's a hybrid with other things that there's a lot that young people can hold on to for that as well. So pioneer for that, and yeah, just keep going.
You said the magic word, hybrid.
Yeah.
Yep. It just can't be stated enough. And back to what you said originally, you can't do, and actually won't do, songs, music, that is not going to be anything other than authentic for you. You cannot
right.
be who you're not. So now
right.
The wheels are turning. You said you're going to be at Playboy Jazz, and that's going to be
mm-hmm.
in June.
Yeah.
So who you need to gravitate to, who will find in you a kindred spirit of sorts for a couple of different reasons,
mm-hmm.
is
yes.
George Duke.
Ah, yeah, I do know George, actually.
Okay.
We don't know, we've met a few times, and I really love and admire his work, and I'm really glad you brought that up again, because he's going to be there, and I think, I know he lives in L.A., too.
He does, and who he's going to be with is somebody else that it would be good to cultivate a relationship with, because of the here's a word that I don't, or a phrase that I don't use too often, but Jeffrey Osborne is a genre skipper.
Yeah. I actually met him at the press party. I went to the Playboy Mansion, and Herbie was there, Jeffrey Osborne, Sheila E. It was like all these people, like Quincy Jones, my jaw was like dropped. But yeah,
yep.
I'm really excited that they're going to be there this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, George will make it a point to watch you, for sure, because he
mm-hmm.
is always looking to see how young people who are so adept at music, because, you know, he chases the notion of boxes himself.
Right, right. Yeah.
So when he knows that there is someone of a like mind, you will have his full focus. So there's
mm-hmm.
going to be a lot of different kinds of vibes and hybridity happening at this function.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Hybridity, that's great.
Yeah, hybridity, and that's what you are all about. God bless you, Grace. You know what? It was so tough to figure out what I was going to play, and I'm definitely going to play three songs. We already heard one. Just to let folks know about Live at Sculler's, there are some songs that Grace has written for this that are just mind-blowing. Absolutely love Autumn Song. We talked about... Oh, that is so gorgeous. It's way, way more mature than you would imagine that a young person could have written, because it sounds as though, here's another way of looking at it. You probably were looking at Montana, you were feeling the beauty of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be some who will gravitate to that, thinking of the autumn of their life.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's really beautiful. I never thought of it like that. That's really nice.
Oh, trust me. I was feeling it in that way.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really magnificent. And the falling song is just beautiful. I definitely will play in this next couple of hours Searching for Peace, which is monumental, okay? but what I have right now, and it's a way of making sure, because I don't want to, you know, you don't necessarily hang out, because these songs are 7 and 8 minutes apiece, and they are masterpieces. What you have done with the way you look tonight and summertime is crazy.
Oh, thank you.
Crazy. And if anybody who is a seasoned pro in any kind of music hasn't heard Live at Scholars, prepare for your ears to have a feast.
Oh, thank you, Trish.
You are so welcome. You have probably a beautiful day you're right now in the Boston area, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So you probably have a beautiful day. If you want to mention any more gigs coming up, feel free to let us know.
All right. Well, also, because we are pretty busy. We're headed to Europe and Alaska. We're playing Montreux Jazz Festival this year. But my site has it all listed. And for your listeners, my site is www.gracekellymusic.com.
Yes. And this must be mentioned. This really is true. A couple of nights ago, my son and I were watching Rear Window. And
yes,
Grace,
awesome.
Grace Kelly's was in this, of course. Mm-hmm. And I know about Grace Kelly because I'm from Philadelphia. So was she. She was a socialite in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So somebody actually wrote to me on my Facebook page, Trish, is this the same Grace Kelly that's going to be on your show on Thursday? Wow! No! And I know you're sick and tired of hearing that. By the way, this show, when it goes into archive mode, your friend, Janice Rochelle Littlejohn, is a friend
yes.
of mine as well.
Yes.
And she has featured you in the whatever is being done with the film. It's a great film, but can she play?
Yes.
So she has made it a big point to spread the word among her friends that you were going to be on the show today.
Oh, thank you. And I can't wait to post it to my Facebook and share the word.
Well, you know what? You are the word to be shared, my dear. You really are, and it's going to be nothing but good for you from here on out, because your heart is so good. And when somebody's heart is in their music and really does love people, look, you've got some kind of a little hand from heaven over you. So know that.
Thank you so much, Chris. That really means a lot.
Good. I'm glad. And tell your mom and dad, I am just thrilled at what they've been able to do.
I will. They'll take a listen, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And we'll meet up someday. Matter of fact, I am trying to make inroads to get to the Playboy Jazz Fest in June. So if that's the case, you know that the person that's screaming the loudest in the audience for you, you'll know who to look for.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Well, listen, what would you like me to play? Which of the two songs? I'm going to do Searching for Peace later on.
Okay.
But what are you feeling right now that you would like to share with the audience?
Oh, that's a good question. How about the first track? Please don't box me in.
You know what? I'll do that. I'll do that later on, but I've got two ready to go, Summertime or The Way You Look Tonight, because this is the other side of you.
Hit folks with Summertime. Get their groove on.
Seriously, because you know what this is like for folks, just to let you know ahead of time? Summertime is one of those classic songs, but the way Grace Kelly and Company does it, it's like it was done during the era of Shaft, John Shaft. It's like Isaac Hayes was in the mix for this. Seriously.
Oh my God. That's really cool.
And thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you down the road. I appreciate your time. I didn't expect you to spend this much with us, but it was a ball. And
it flew by, yes.
It really did. You are a trip, and I'm anxious to really see my first Grace Kelly show, and hopefully it will be in Los Angeles because you'll be living there.
Yeah, I can't wait. Awesome. I hope to see you there.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much, Grace.
Thanks, Trish. Have
All
a great
right.
day.
You, too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Grace Kelly, let's get to it. This is just one of those off-the-chain tunes, live at Scholars. 8 minutes, 19 seconds of Summertime on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
No shame in that game. You just go right ahead. The Blackbirds, Walking in Rhythm, the wonderful Flying Start album from back in 1974, 1975, produced by Donald Byrd. And therein is the reason why that song got played. Matter of fact, Bobby Humphrey was talking about the event you're just about to hear when she was on the show a few weeks ago. Then, last weekend, listening to WHUR at Howard University, and of course, you know, the guys involved in the Blackbirds were all a part of the Howard University scene. Donald assembled those guys, and Flying Start was their second project. Anyway, Keith Kilgo, who was one of the original folks involved in the Blackbirds, dropped on by to the Jock Show at the time, and they were talking about this event, a tribute to the life of Donald Byrd, happening tomorrow, featuring the Blackbirds and Bobby Humphrey. Yes, indeed, happening in Washington, D.C. at a place called The Ark, which is a grand new town hall education arts recreation campus. There's free parking available on site for both shows. Two shows, what? Let's see. Second show is 9:30. Oh, 7 o'clock and 9:30. Okay. So I don't have a website. They actually didn't post a website to the Facebook page, but you'll Google that. It's let's see if I can find out more information. So you're trying to, if you're in the area or can be. Yeah. The ARC DC, which is THEARCDC.org. So that's pretty handy. Once you find that, you'll know exactly what to do to try to find the other information, except for the fact that I'll tell you, tickets are $20 and $35. Now, here's the deal. I'm not sure whether it's sold out at this point, so you might want to investigate that. In any case, if you get to go, because there's a lot happening, probably where you are, certainly in the Baltimore and D.C. and Philly area for sure. I'm trying to find something else, so I'm stalling for time here. Woo! Oh my gosh, I want to find something out for you that's just so splendid I can't even say. Let me see here. It's got everything to do with the second song we played. Yay! Let me see, is this it? I'll have to just fake it then, and I think that I can. You heard, besides Walking in Rhythm by the Blackbirds, which featured, by the way, Kevin Tony on piano, Joe Hall on bass, Keith Kilgo on drums, and Alan Barnes, who co-wrote the song with Kevin. They were all a part of that, as well as, I got to make sure I mention everybody, Barry Perry on guitar and Perk Jacobs on percussion. Got to make sure that we revere our legends. And if Donald Byrd had a hand in making this possible, as he had a hand in making sure that people got attention to Bobby Humphrey, then I'm going to make sure I mention names. Herbie Hancock was the second track that we played. 1965, it was recorded in May of that year, Maiden Voyage, the title track, which just blew everybody's mind because it had this oceanic theme to it. All these songs were just like the best kind of chill music you can imagine. Amazing. Freddie Hubbard on trumpet and George Coleman on tenor sax, the great Ron Carter on bass, Tony Williams on drums, and Herbie Hancock, who turns 73 years young tomorrow and working hard for the money. Let me tell you something. April 30th is International Jazz Day, okay? And what Herbie is going to do to mark the occasion is something that is rather monumental. And this involves going back in his memories. When he was a young cat just starting out, he made friends with the Turkish ambassador. And this gentleman was so magnanimous that he would have people from all different kinds of jazz walks into his home in the D.C. area. And he knew, of course, that by having jazz musicians in his home, there was going to be some controversy. Some other of the politicians in D.C. would not come to the house because there were African-American musicians in this man's home, Mr. Ertegun. And he said to all of those who had any question, let me tell you something. There is just one entrance to my house via the front door. If you choose to come through the back door, you can. But all of my friends are coming through the front. Now, these were tough times. These were back in the 60s. So Herbie never forgot that. So in order to pay tribute to his friend from those days where this man from Turkey made a stand, Herbie is going to mark the occasion of April 30th, International Jazz Day, because he's got the purse, he's got the power to do this. He's going to have his friends, including, we just mentioned, George Duke, and others, including Diane Reeves, who was mentioned in the past several minutes, to come to Istanbul, Turkey, to celebrate. In the oldest church in Istanbul, they're going to have this monumental occasion. And not only because of the ambassador at that time, but also to celebrate his son, Ahmet Ertegun, who actually formed the label Atlantic Records, which pulled in so many African-American artists that it just stopped time in some music circles because this was something that hadn't really been done. So this wonderful ambassador taught his sons to love, and that's how much they did. Ahmet Ertegun, the founder of Atlantic Records, and Herbie in this mix, and Herbie never forgetting. I just love that so much. Maiden Voyage. Woohoo! Grace Kelly, we heard from Summertime from her Live at Scholars CD. You're going to be hearing another track a little bit later on in the show, something she wrote. And she had so many accolades when she wrote the song, it was not even funny. She won an award for this song you'll hear, Searching for Peace. So stand by for that. Having such a good time. It's a beautiful spring-like, summer-like day out there. And as long as we're talking about the past, the son of one of those treasures from the past is going to be playing for you right now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. The great Ravi Coltrane, son of John and Alice Coltrane. Didn't know his dad real well. John passed away when Ravi was 2. But you know about lineage. There was something infused in that little boy that lives with us till this day. One of those tracks from the great Spirit Fiction CD that just came out last year. The Change, My Girl, a song that Ravi heard in a dream. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Song. That's a Calgon Take Me Away song. Bebel Gilberto, whose dad is João Gilberto, and mom is Miúcha, who was a Brazilian singer, still with us. It's just hard to imagine. I'm thinking of João and Astrid Gilberto, who he later married, and all of these cast of character folks back in the 60s when I first heard them were mind-boggling, and then to hear the offspring of these wonderful people like Bebel, just amazing, who has done so much in her own career, started very early because of the influence of both mom and dad. That was, just love to say it, Cada Beijo, from her self-titled CD back in 2004. What she likes to do is, among other things, and she certainly has referred to this as a hybrid of sorts, electronica and bossa nova, acoustic lounge, always sounding like jazz. She just has a way of conveying a song that is the essence of Brazil. She moved from Ipanema to Manhattan in 1991, but divides her time back and forth from the States to her home turf. Singer, composer, beautiful woman, playing a gig tonight, I think, in Brazil. Woo! Wish I was there. Yeah, Cada Beijo. Very nice. Shake and Doy. Had to play Shake. My friend from Senegal, who is doing so well in the D.C. area and beyond, consummate bass player, A Child's Tale. We heard the title track right there, among others, Eric Marienthal and Russell Ferrante on that CD. Shake is a bassist, a composer, and arranger. He's at Blues Alley tomorrow night, also the 13th and the 14th. Yes, indeed. And with him, Karen Briggs, also Grant Langford, Dan Leonard, Marcus Baylor, special guest David Siegel, and Arshak Saranyan, who is one of those mind-boggling pianists who has been doing a Kickstarter program, a little ambitious, wanted a lot of funding toward a project that is going to be monumental called Hoodman's Blind. And I believe that you can still get to be a part of that. I think this is the last day. Mentioned it on Facebook a few times, but I'll mention it again. And again, Shake at Blues Alley in D.C. tomorrow night, Saturday and Sunday, with a big deal cast. Robbie Coltrane, Spirit Fiction on Blue Note, his first foray on that illustrious record label. Woo! The Change, My Girl, the name of the track. And Ravi heard that song in a dream. He was seeing in that dream that he was at a recording session, and somebody in the session said, work on that change, my girl. So he just took it and ran with it. Beautiful composition. Produced the whole album, by the way, by Joe Lovano, and there's much to be said about Robbie, of course, but what you need to know is this about this great saxophone player. I love what the Philadelphia City Paper had to say about him. They said, a style informed by tradition but not encumbered by it. That's really important. Robbie is like Grace Kelly. He is always gone on the road. I just found out about a wonderful jazz festival in Sonoma County, California, coming up in May. It's on my page. I have never heard of this place, so forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. Healdsburg, the Healdsburg Jazz Festival. Among others, Robbie will be there. Charles Lloyd will be there, who you will hear in a little bit doing a mind-blowing interpretation of a classic Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys song. This is Charles Lloyd, who is revered in all kinds of jazz circles, and he and Jason Moran have gotten together to do this project that will make the hair on different body parts stand on end. No kidding. So Robbie's going to be part of this, and Sweet Honey and the Rock among others, at this Healdsburg Jazz Festival. Robbie's going to be at Christopher Newport University, Newport News, Virginia, tomorrow through the 13th. And then he's going to be at the Zappa Club in Tel Aviv, in Israel, where our friend Anita King is, I believe, at this moment. I'm not quite sure about that, but she has been in Russia. I think she was going to mosey on over to Israel. And then Robbie's going to be all over Europe. Then he'll wind up in Birdland in June. Amazing. Wow, so much music ahead of us. Really want to get to these tracks because different people are playing events and we're celebrating different birthdays. And let's just move on. This is for BJ, especially in California. Beach does love that Hammond organ. And we had a little birthday yesterday. Joey DeFrancesco, who was from Springfield, PA, right outside of Philadelphia, celebrated his 42nd birthday yesterday. Yeah. So I think it's Joey time. This is from one of those sweet, sweet collaborations with the great Larry Coryell on guitar. And, I'm just freaking out here. I'm reading so much about him at this particular moment. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Cobb. I have so many notes, I can't even read my own notes. Jimmy Cobb on drums. The name of the CD is Wonderful! Exclamation point. Wonderful! Exclamation point. This is that classic song done by Joey and Larry and Jimmy on Hybrid Jazz. I won't have to tell you to enjoy it because you will. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Those songs that has been on my mind actually for several days now, ever since I heard it, that's Adrian Blue, and it's called Living Room, from a sweet little project called Acoustic Truth. That's AKOOSTICTROOTH. Adrian is one of those guys, not necessarily in the jazz frame of mind, he thinks of himself as elsewhere, but a voice that lends himself so much to the mix of music, he's like the closest thing I can think of, and you know how we are, we all like to categorize people, but I'll tell you this. Adrian is reminiscent of Javier Colon. Only Adrian's got more soul. Because I've seen Javier now, and Javier, he has a lot of pop leanings and troubadour leanings. Adrian has that, but there's a vibe in him that is just so groovalicious. Soulspiration, I think, is what he calls what he does, but he's folky, and he's full of soul, and he's jazz-like, and that just has you feeling so good. The lyric in that is so classy. He's going to be at Terra Cafe, making his way up. He's a Baltimore guy, now living in Atlanta, making his way up to the Terra Cafe in Baltimore on Saturday with our good friend Carlos Brickhouse accompanying him, and Rob White. And I'm going to give equal time to another friend of mine who's also playing on Saturday, and that is Paulo Gregory Harris, whose group Second Nature is going to be playing at the Red House this Saturday. So here's the dilemma that yours truly has had. There was a pass waiting for me at Burke's Jazz, which I have now turned down, so that I can make sure I see the guys do their thing on Saturday. So, and then Lynn Verano and Verano, the group, are playing at the Avalon on Saturday. So Mama can't do all that. So we have to go see Adrian and Paulo. Great music. Seriously, wherever you are, it may be the same thing. And it's all good news, truly. Larry Carlton, a busy guy. You heard him in that second song in the set, Smiles and Smiles to Go, from the 1986 album Alone But Never Alone. All Music called this particular album this. As far as smooth jazz is concerned, they said, Larry Carlton is set apart from the pack because he is melodically substantial and sonically contemplative. That is so awesome. Yes. And what helped out the album, which was wonderful, Abe Laboriel on bass. Oh, my. Yes. Larry Carlton, by the way, here's some trivia for you. Do you know that he is the uncle to Vanessa Carlton? Yes, that same little pop singer that did so well a few years ago when TRL was on the air on MTV. We saw Vanessa Carlton all the time playing that keyboard, and T had a little crush on her. I can say that now because he's not in the house. He took a little walk. Larry Carlton right there, who will be on the 14th or the 19th, I should say, at B.B. King's in New York City. Yes. And has a new project out with Robin Ford called Unplugged. Should definitely pick that up too. Joey DeFrancesco to start things off. Wonderful, wonderful. The title track from project release just last year. Joey turned 42 yesterday. Larry Coryell and Jimmy Cobb were on a wonderful, wonderful with him. Just magnificent stuff. That Hammond organ. Let me just say this about how wonderful Joey is. You've heard me say, God knows David Sanborn has. David likes to tour with Joey because between the sax and that Hammond, things are smoking on the stage. This is how good Joey was even at a young age. He actually went to the clubs with his dad, Papa John DeFrancesco, when little Joey was 7. And he became proficient very early, so much so that Miles Davis asked him to join Miles' group when Joey was 17. Yeah. And then he was part of John McLaughlin's trio, Free Spirits, along with another Baltimore guy, legend, Dennis Chambers, on drums. So Joey's got these Philadelphia roots, knows a lot about Baltimore because of Dennis Chambers. He's just one of those guys that we like to call equal opportunity, dual city hometown hero. Just amazing. More amazing work and more birthdays, actually. Celebrating on the same day yesterday as Joey is a gentleman by the name of Denny Zeitlin. And this is a fascinating guy. And you'll hear more about Denny coming up. Wanted to get to this track just a little bit after the last hour of the show. This is one of those, certainly, we use the word contemplative tracks from 2005 from Solo Voyage. This is the Denny Zeitlin Trio on Hybrid Jazz. Just beautiful. Thank you. always nice to go back to that song, isn't it? George Duke, No Rhyme, No Reason, from Snapshot in 1992. Can you believe that's 21 years ago now? That was atop the jazz charts for about 5 weeks. Yeah. No Rhyme, No Reason, one of the big reasons why. Oh, my God, did folks relate to that song. Good God. You know, here are some things that you might not have known about early George Duke. I just love this because when moms are involved and they do something pivotal, we went through this with Slim Man because his mom was real instrumental in turning him on to jazz, as was Mama Duke. She took our guy to see Duke Ellington at 4 years old. So the situation was that thereafter, little George demanded his own piano. He got the lessons at seven when he was seven, and he was immersed in the Baptist church. That's how he was raised. Then morphed into jazz when he was in his teens. 1967, got his bachelor's degree at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. And during that time, in the 60s, he was part of the house band at the Half Note in the San Francisco area, and part of that little house band was Al Jarreau. So you talk about a long-standing friendship. And it's just so wonderful to contemplate that they are going to be very comfortable with each other later on this year. I believe that the Al and George project is finished. George was finishing up production for that. So by the time they get to Rehoboth Beach and the Jazz Festival in October, they will be playing some tracks from the new CD. I'm very excited about that because that's the old stomping grounds, and they are comfortable in a scenario that may be a little smaller because it reminds them of the old times when they used to play the Half Note. They really like to play at places where everybody's got a good seat, everybody can hear what they're doing, and they can just kibitz with the audience. They really like that. Also, you heard Grace Kelly say that she's going to be at the Playboy Jazz Festival. So is George Duke, along with someone else that he has recently produced, Jeffrey Osborne. So that's going to be in June. Very heady stuff. And again, this will be the first year that Bill Cosby is not going to emcee it. It's going to be George Lopez, which will be a trip. Ah, Charles Lloyd. We heard Charles Lloyd and Jason Moran. I can't say enough about Hagar's song. This is new as of February. Charles is 75 years old and quite possibly playing the best saxophone of his life. Jason Moran, he has partnered with since 2007. They've turned out some amazing work. Jason on piano. Just missed him at Johns Hopkins University about a week or so ago. Jason and Charles together have put together this album that many are calling one of the best projects they have heard in a long time. Hagar's song on ECM Records. What you heard was the Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys song, God Only Knows. Charles sure has a right to tackle that. He has a right to tackle anything he wants to, playing like that. But he used to play with the Beach Boys. Got to know Brian back in the 60s. So again, these long-standing relationships turning out this mind-blowing work. It's just wonderful. Woof. Now, Denny Zeitlin and his trio got to say this. Denny just had a birthday yesterday. He as well turned 75. Solo Voyage is what you heard, and the name of the track, I don't understand, so don't ask. Solo Voyage Suite moving parts. Okay? That was back in 2005. This guy is very interesting. Piano composer, psychologist. Yes. Signed by John Hammond back on Columbia Records. Denny began his career in 1963 while he was at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He played with Bill Evans. He played with Wes Montgomery, Ira Sullivan. He was part of the Sesame Street Jazzy Spies back in the late 60s, if you remember that. And he also did some work on the soundtrack for the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And, yes, you heard me correctly, he is also a psychologist. So he thinks that the music and the psychology go hand in hand because it's just these gifts he has to share. One continues to heal the other. Very interesting guy, turned out some great music, still continues to do so, and active in both endeavors. Just so good to know that. Whew. Grace Kelly, love to have her on again anytime you want, Grace. She has spent the better part of an hour with us during the first hour of the show. We promised to play a third track from Live at Scholars. This is a track that Grace wrote, Searching for Peace. A lady apparently came up to her at one of the venues she was playing and said, "That doesn't sound very peaceful." Grace said, "Ma'am, I'm searching for peace." This is the search for peace. This is not the culmination. This is the search for it. And this particular song, I believe, won an ASCAP Foundation Award. Yes. It's one of those grand songs, 8 minutes long, that and we'll get to the members of her band, but this is the work of saxophonist and composer and arranger and producer and educator, 20-year-old Grace Kelly on Hybrid Jazz.
This is a song of mine entitled Searching for Peace.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz. Always like to find an excuse to do that. Born April 15th, 1894. Died in September of 1937, way too soon, under some just unbelievable circumstances, which we won't go into. If you do some research, you will find a mighty story on Bessie Smith. The Empress of the Blues, one of the most popular figures in 20s and 30s music, did a lot to influence people. Matter of fact, one of the big artists, I should say, and I feel like I'm having trouble finding words today because there's just so much music, there's just so emotion attached to the music. I really was immersed in the Bessie Smith story all over again in prepping for the show, but Billie Holiday heard Bessie Smith and really was inspired by what she did. This was a woman who lost dad and mom and a sister by the time she was 9 years old. So she pretty much had to find a way on her own. Her brother left home. He was older than her, and he knew in his heart of hearts that she might be ready to go with him, but he wanted to find his way in the entertainment business. He came back for Bessie, and he had her audition for the troupe that he was in. In that troupe was Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey got to be a really popular singer, but Bessie eclipsed Ma. So they didn't know this at the time. When Bessie was hired on, she sure made an impression with the audition. She was hired as a dancer. And then Ma showed her the ropes as far as stage present is concerned. So Bessie just took it and ran with it. She had one of those strong, strong voices. The highest paid black entertainer for her day. Not real successful for a while with the fellas, as some of these ladies were so prone to say. She got married. She was born in Chattanooga, but took up to Philadelphia, where she met a man and married him. They were not exactly faithful to each other. And there's another story entirely about Bessie Smith, the other side of her love life, which we won't delve into. Again, you can do your own research. But she found the love of her life, actually a man related to Lionel Hampton. And this gentleman was with her at the time that she and he were involved in an accident that eventually claimed Bessie's life. Eventually, she had the accident and she passed away the next day, just under some pretty, not pretty, tragic circumstances. But when we had her, oh my God, put a little sugar in my bowl. And of course, she's not talking about the kitchen table. We heard from Charles Mingus. Yes, we did. 1959 for Mingus Alma. That was the Gigi train, actually, at that time, talking about the Brooklyn, Queens, Crosstown local, the Gigi train. Big doings. I'm so glad to have found this at the time that I did. Here's the story. Sue Mingus, the widow of Charles, has done her part in making sure that his wonderful legacy continues. If you go to MingusMingusMingus.com, you will find out about the 6th annual Charles Mingus High School Festival and Competition that will take place on Valentine's Day next year. You can actually download an application. If you have someone in your family in high school who is promising in the way of a jazz artist, this is what you need to do. Find out what you can on the website and make sure that your guy or gal is entered in the competition. That would be so awesome. So hopefully somebody will hear this in a timely fashion and do it. And listen, about that song, Gigi Train and Mingus that particular song was on bonus tracks on later reissues. The original Mingus is in the National Recording Registry, chosen by the Library of Congress. So that's how important that album is. Merciful heavens. Let's get to a couple of songs, shall we, before we end today. And I have to pick now because there was three. We'll wait on this. Let's not wait on Spyro Gyra, though. And I wanted to play something by them because Eric Essex has been coming up in conversation recently, and Spyro Gyra has agreed to be a part of Eric's Preserve Jazz Festival happening in Hoover, Alabama on June the 2nd. Spyro Gyra and Eric Essex together in a beautiful location. This is going back now. What year for this? Let's see. 1990s, I'm thinking. Let me just hold on for a second and find out. Because I didn't think we were going to get to this track. But yeah, actually 1993, South Beach from Dreams Beyond Control. I think you'll enjoy this a whole lot on Hyper Jazz.
got music in my hips. You done come and paid you my name to be entertained. Seeking some kind of inspiration from my pleasure and my pain.
Isn't that a kick? Isn't she fabulous? Oh, Renee Marie, who started her career at the age of 42 a few years ago, she's 57 now, but started late in her career, Virginia-based. What you just heard was from 2011, title track of Black Lace Freudian Slip. She is a trip. Oh, my God. So great is she, and so courageous. She loves jazz, of course, but she has forays into other avenues of expression. Now, what I mean by that is this. She has delved into topics like homelessness and politics, and she has a one-woman show that's called Slut Energy Theory. I kid you not, this is what she does. She wants women to be transformative from a lack of self-esteem into self-empowerment. She's very formidable. Matter of fact, her second CD called Vertigo, Coronet Ranking by the Penguin Guide, that's about maybe 85 or less artists who have ever had that kind of ranking. Renee Marie is her name, Black Lace Freudian Slip. Spyro Gyra, we heard at the Preserve Jazz Fest in Hoover, Alabama. That's coming up on June the 2nd. They're also going to be at Sellersville, the theater there in Pennsylvania, my old stomping grounds, April 14th. That was from their album, matter of fact, from 1993. South Beach was the name of the track. And as we wind our way to the finish line, Dreams Beyond Control is the name of the CD. Something that I want you to think about for this weekend. Dreams beyond control. Is there such a thing? Oh, have a great weekend. Thank you to everybody who joined us today. Grace Kelly was absolutely wonderful in the first hour. And please, Grace Kelly Music is the place to go for information on where she's going to be. Again, if you are fortunate enough to be in the Los Angeles area and can see her in her element at Playboy Jazz in June, oh, golly wally, please go see her. She is going to be absolutely breathtaking. And pick up her CD as well, live at Scholars, because it's chock full of surprises, for sure. You heard a little while ago, Searching for Peace, there's a bunch more, including her vocalization on a few tracks as well. God bless. We'll see you on Tuesday with a surprise. Thank you to Beach and Griselda and all of our guests in the chat room today, and we'll see you on Tuesday on Hybrid Jazz.